Well, welcome to our Palm Sunday service at Calvary Chapel Lake Forest. I know we've all been going through a lot. These are very difficult times. So before we get into the message this Sunday, let's go before the Lord and pray. God, we thank you so much for allowing us to be part of this virus that's going on in the world right now as Christians, being here to intercede for those that are sick, hurting, and even dying. We thank you that we have this ability to pray for other people and for ourselves. We do pray, Lord, that you would have mercy and grace on not only us, but the whole world. Lord, we know you have a plan in all of this. And we ask, Lord, that you would give us patience and peace, and that the love of God would continually be in our heart, and we wouldn't get frustrated or impatient. God, we ask you to touch those that are sick, that you would perform a healing or make it easy for them as they go through it. For those that are maybe on their deathbed, we intercede for them that they would come to know Jesus, most of all, because they need you, Lord, so they could spend eternity with you. Open the doors for them to hear the gospel. And for those that do know you, we pray they're at peace, knowing that you're in charge and you will do exactly what you have planned for their life, and they need not worry. Lord, have mercy on our nation. We need your help. We pray for leaders here in this nation to have wisdom and understanding and know what to do and what not to do. And Lord, this is too big for us, but not for you. So we put it in your hands, and we as your people, Christians, just pray that your perfect will is done. And when this is over and we see what's come out of it, we give you the glory. And we pray that in Jesus' name, amen. First of all, I want to go over something before we get into Matthew 21, which is our Palm Sunday message today. We are going through a difficult time, a time where we're not able to fellowship together at the church. We're not able to shake hands or talk to one another. But as Paul said in Colossians chapter 2, verse 5, "For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit." Isn't that wonderful? Paul couldn't be everywhere, but his spirit could. I know you are with me in the spirit, and I am with you. So let's focus on our unity in the spirit. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the head of the body, and sense that we're here together in the spirit, having this beautiful fellowship with each other and the Lord. We're at church. We're enjoying the fellowship of the saints. You know, it's so wonderful to be a Christian, isn't it? To enjoy the blessings of being one. No matter where we are, we're one. No matter what the circumstances, we're one. Some of us are healthy, some are not feeling good, but we're one. We are blessed, and we have a large family. These times can make one feel lonely, but we're not alone. We have the Lord, and we have each other. And it's good to keep in touch. It's so wonderful that we have this body of Christ. But we as human beings do not like change. We like comfort, security, and to know where we stand in life. We like that. We get used to that. We don't like to upset the apple cart. But now things have changed. Changed not only in our life, our household, our country, but globally, things have changed. It's not comfortable. It was for a couple of days, but it's getting a little edgy right now. It's uncomfortable. Why? Our security blankets have been taken away. Our schedules have changed. Our daily lives are not what they used to be. There's been a shaking, a moving, a commotion that has affected our lives and it gets our attention. Calls for change. It's called coronavirus. It's caused all of this in our lives, and it does have our attention. Don't you find yourself talking about it all day long? As you walk by people, guess what they're talking about? Finding toilet paper, paper towels. Hey, I found milk today. Go over to this store. But things are changed. Well, as we will see in our message today, on Palm Sunday, that day brought about change globally. And the one causing the change was Jesus Christ. He caused a shaking, a commotion, and brought about change globally. And people have to make a decision concerning Jesus Christ. All people, all over the world, because they're all affected by Jesus Christ. Some 2,000 years ago, as predicted by the prophet Daniel, Jesus of Nazareth triumphantly entered into Jerusalem and caused quite a commotion. He shook things up, the religious system, the political system. Jesus Christ actually changed the calendar. And everyone's idea on how to approach God and be righteous in God's eyes changed. He brought something new in, a change. Our message today is taken from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 11. So would you please turn your Bibles to Matthew 21, verses 1 to 11. And as we do here at Calvary Chapel Lake Forest every Sunday, we read responsively the verses that we are going through as we go through the Bible. So wherever you are, we normally stand, but you can sit. Be comfortable. Take in God's word. If you want to say amen or hallelujah, go ahead. But just turn your Bibles, please, to Matthew 21, verses 1 to 11. And we're going to responsively read as we do on Sunday mornings. I will read the odd-numbered verses and ask you to read the even-numbered verses. Verse 1. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, and if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly, and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey.
So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them.
They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this?
So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. This is Jesus. We call this text the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. He acknowledged at this time that he is the Messiah. Remember in earlier times he would say, don't tell anyone. This is the day he entered in. And we call it Palm Sunday. Why? Because of the branches laid down to lay out the royal carpet for Jesus to enter in. And we read in John 12, verse 13, it says they were palm branches, so we call it Palm Sunday. Wouldn't you like to be there? Join that parade? Wow. An important day. This day was so important that it was spoken of hundreds of years earlier in the Old Testament, in Psalm 118, verse 22. So if you would please turn with me to Psalm 118, and we're going to read verses 22 to 26. Speaking of this day, many years later, which we read of today, Psalm 118, verse 22. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I pray, O Lord, O Lord. I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Hosanna, save now, Lord. And that's what Jesus came to do. This day we're reading about today, this is the day the Lord has made. We rejoice and be glad in it. It's good news. It's life-changing news on this day. A day of entering in of the Messiah. It's joy and peace and love and salvation entering in through Jesus Christ. He is the one, the Christ, the Messiah, our hope. A day of change, hope for all. This was covered in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, hundreds of years earlier. Jesus is entering in to conquer sin and death. Not to rule, that will be later when he comes again. And soon, I believe, as we look around at things happening in the world today. The days we are in are prophesied of. But the first time, he comes as a sacrifice for sin, once and for all. Now, it's interesting at this time, it was also the time of the Passover. Remembering when the children of Israel were passed over by the angel of death, going throughout Egypt and killing the firstborn in each household. But the Israelites were passed over and were set free. This was a major feast in Israel. There could have been maybe 2 million people around Jerusalem at this time. So we're not talking about some small thing. This is the day we're studying. And Daniel 9 speaks of it. If you read the book of Daniel, chapter 9, it speaks of these 69 sevens, or 483 years, from the time of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the Messiah, the Prince, enters in, which we're reading about today. It says there would be 483 years. The people should have been aware of this, and some were. The command was given by King Artaxerxes of Persia in 445 B.C., the Babylonian calendar, 483 years later, brings us to April 6th, 32 AD. Isn't that wonderful? We're in that time frame. The Messiah has come. Jesus is the Messiah to set men free if they choose to believe in him. Back to our text in Matthew 21. We see in verses 1 to 3, they drew near to Jerusalem. Jesus sent two disciples out. He said, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you'll find a donkey and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And he says, if anyone says anything to you, you shall say the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. They're near Jerusalem. Two disciples given orders. I want you to go into the village. You'll find a donkey and a colt. Loose them and bring them to me. But now the Lord doesn't want us to steal. So he says, if anything says anyone to you, here's the password. Here are the passwords. So they'll know you're not stealing. The Lord has need of them. Those were the passwords. If anyone sees you taking them and says, what are you doing? The Lord has need of them. They will understand. You see, God always prepares both sides. The Lord will understand, and he will let them go. Did you ever try these passwords? Maybe it'll work. The Lord has need of them. I need that car. No, don't do it. We're just kidding. So they did it. They obeyed him. They had faith in the Lord. Verse 4, and this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. This was prophesied, another prophecy, by Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. This is an amazing true story. It says, that's the way the prince, the king, would enter in, riding on a donkey. And it happened. So what this tells us is God is in control. Maybe today you feel he's not. It's chaos. I've heard the word chaos a lot. Trouble. It's tension. Nervous. God is in control. He knows what he's doing. A lot of times, time passes before you see God's perfect will done. And his will be done as it was there. Remember this, God is always on time. Always on time. Can you imagine this though? The King of Kings, our Jesus, the King of Kings, makes his triumphant entry on a donkey. He was born in a stable and died on a wooden cross. He wasn't even part of the middle class. He can relate to everybody. That's our king. That's our leader. That's our God. Verse 6. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They obeyed, and Jesus sat on him. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. So Jesus is riding in. And then verse 8, a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The royal treatment, branches laid in front of him, an oriental setting. It's like laying a red carpet today. Their garments and palm branches. What an entrance. Verse 9, then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Awesome. The people are now lifting up Jesus. Hosanna means save now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. It's an exclamation of adoration. And again, we're quoting from Psalm 118. You see, there were three groups of people here. The Jews from Jerusalem, crowds from Galilee, and there were people here who actually saw Lazarus raised from the grave. We read that in John 12, verses 17 to 18. The people that saw Lazarus raised from the dead. So there were many believing on him, but not all, not most. But I wonder how many were caught up with emotion and later in the week were crying out, crucify him. But this day they're crying out, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. It's God's son. He's a king, son of David. And they acknowledge that in verse 9. Hosanna to the Son of David. He was from that throne, that genealogy. And blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Jesus. Hosanna. And the word Hosanna means save now. It's why he came. And then we read verse 10. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So we see many people were there, and the city was moved. It was shaken. Something's happening. And what an interesting question, verse 10. Who is this? So the multitudes answered. The multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. So many of them did not really understand who Jesus really was. They said a prophet. Well, that's true. He's a prophet. He spoke the truth of God. But he is much, much more than a prophet. This man of Nazareth, he's caused a global change. Every human being is affected by this man, Jesus. Some say a prophet, some say a good teacher, some say a good man, one who went around doing good, one who cared for people. He did all those things. But he's more. A most important question to at the end of verse 10, who is this? Causing the city, it tells us, to be moved. This is Jesus of Nazareth. The Greek word moved is seo. And it means, listen to this, it means to rock, to agitate, to shake, to throw into a tremor. So we think moved, oh, I'm so moved emotionally. When we read scriptures, we don't quite get the words correct at times, or we don't get the tone. But this word means to rock, to agitate, to throw into a tremor. Sounds like some of the things we're going through. We know what that feels like, don't we? Oh, change. This is not comfortable. Jesus is bringing something in. I don't know what's going on. Today, the world has been rocked. And the world today has been rocked, agitated, shaken by Jesus Christ. Still happening. One can't ignore Jesus Christ. Ignoring him means to say no to him and who he is. And that means sure death. A greater statistic than the virus. This means sure death if you deny Jesus, the treatment for sin. You won't make it. I have surrendered to Jesus Christ. And I know many of you have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. And I want to share with you who he is to me and to a lot of you who are listening. To all of us, he is the Son of God, we that believe in him. He's the Son of God. And he came to pay the price for my sin. He's my atoning sacrifice, acceptable sacrifice for sin. He has set me free from Satan, from sin, from death. He came to save me, a sinner. He is my Savior. And we all need a Savior. He's also the way to heaven's gate and the only way. I will one day be in heaven with my Jesus and live in perfect conditions. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more tears, no more sin, no more death, and a new body. All because of Jesus entering in as the Messiah. He came and he conquered sin and death. Jesus is also truth to me. The truth about life here and the hereafter. He speaks truth. And he speaks truth to me about where I'm going to go, how to get there, and how it's going to be. And he tells me, and he tells you who believe, that we have a good future. This is temporary, and it will pass. He also is life to me, an abundant life here. Before I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and people were sharing with me that you need to accept him as your Lord and Savior in order to get to heaven, I said, my first thought was, if I do that, what am I going to be doing on the weekends? Because I was going out having fun and doing what we wanted to do. I was thinking, wow, you accept Jesus and you start wearing a white shirt with a narrow tie and you go to church and you're carrying your Bible and that's life. I have found an abundant life. I think we can all say amen. It is so full. It's overflowing. Love, joy, peace. The song was true. Money can't buy me love, but Jesus can. He's wonderful. Abundant life here. Peace with God. I can lie down each night knowing no matter what happens, I'll end up in heaven if I'm not here in the next morning. Isn't that wonderful? He's given me truth. That's truth about life and the life after death. And he's life to me. I will live in paradise and never die. Isn't that nice? He's also my help in time of trouble. In trouble, people, a lot of people, don't know where to turn. Well, the Bible tells us he's a very present help in time of trouble. You can wake up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat, worried, anxious, not knowing what's going to happen or where your paycheck's going to come from because you just lost your job. Focus on the Lord. He's not sleeping. He's your very present help in trouble. He's your hope. He will help you. He entered in for you. He's my help at all times. If you need help today, look to Jesus. And he's also my friend. There's a song, "What a Friend I Have in Jesus." Did you ever have a friend forsake you? We read in Psalms, David did. Maybe we all have. Jesus never fails. He's there. Never be afraid. So this Jesus also caused a great change in me. A rocking, a shaking. I was moved. You were moved. When Jesus came to you, we all were stirred one day. Had to make a decision. The old way, which is comfortable and secure, or the new way through Jesus. And as people shared with me, there was a move, a commotion, a stirring, a shaking inside. And one day it led me to just surrendering. And by faith, I accepted him as my Lord and Savior. And I found peace through Jesus. He entered in for me, for you. I have made my peace with God. And I have the peace of God. I found him. I accepted him. Changed my life from the inside out. I became a new creature. And I like the new creature better than the old one. It's a lot better. I wouldn't want to go back there. So the question was here in verse 10, who is this? He is the one who came for you and me. That's who that is. He's the one who came riding in on a donkey for you and for me to better us, to save us. You see, Jesus loves us. He loved his own, Israel. He came for his people too. And as he entered in, it seems many didn't accept him, but he loved them. Let's turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 19, please. Luke chapter 19, verse 41. Luke chapter 19, verse 41. This speaks out what happened as he entered in. Now, as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, "If you had known, even you especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes." He drew near to the city and he knew their hearts and he wept over it. That's our Jesus. He desires that we all come to know him. He weeps over his own. He loves you. He came to his own and his own rejected him. But he weeps for the lost. He wants all to come to him. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 3, please. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, verse 19. Speaking to the church of the Laodiceans, we see Jesus speaking here in Revelation 3. Verse 19, he says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him, dine with him, and he with me." Do you notice that? That he will come in, and It's actually sup with him and he with me. He wants people to come and have this beautiful fellowship together with him. Isn't that wonderful? What's more intimate than sitting down with a dear friend and dining together? He says, I'm knocking on your heart. Just let me in, and I will come in, and you will have fellowship with me. We can dine with the king right in your own house. How wonderful. That's who entered in. That's who that is. They asked the question, who is this? The one who came for you and me. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 11, please. Here's Jesus' invitation. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who are laboring and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come unto me. Can you imagine that the Lord pleading with us, please come unto me and rest. He invites people to come to him and rest. I would encourage you today to trade your restlessness for rest. Our lives, our world, our country are being moved as it was then, agitated, rocked, shaken right now. Maybe you are restless, uneasy, worried, burdened down, wondering where the paper towels are, the money's going to come from. Even if you are a Christian, just take Jesus up on his offer. Come to me, all you who are laboring, and rest. Rest. I will take care of you. Just free fall into his arms today. He's able to take care of every situation that you're in. But we must trust him. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus gave us a promise. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Not these other things. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. Don't forsake the Lord. Come to him. Let us rejoice in all that the Lord has done for us. So who is this? Verse 10, they said, who is this? Well, I narrow it down to this, to sum it up. He is everything to me. Without Jesus, I have no life. He's everything to me, and I thank him for allowing me to come to him. However, in order to benefit from him, one must make him first in their life. Trust in him. And know this, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Now, maybe today, as you're listening to this message, you realize, I don't have that. I don't have that rest. I don't have that faith. I don't have what I see others having. And as hearing about Jesus, I want to take him up on his offer. I want to open my heart and let him in. Maybe you've been thinking, well, I'm too bad, or I'm too good, I don't need him. Everybody needs Jesus because he entered in to pay for your sin. And all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So please consider this. If you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to say a little prayer. And it's not the prayer that is going to save you. It's meaning it in your heart, receiving him in your heart. It's not head knowledge. It's heart knowledge. So if you'd like to, you can bow your head, not bow your head. But just repeat these words after me. Don't have to be exact. But the point is, this is what you're really trying to say to the Lord. Dear God in heaven, I am a sinner, and I am so sorry for my sin. I have sinned against you, and I've even hurt other people. But now, after hearing your word, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior. And he came to this earth for me to be the sacrifice, the acceptable sacrifice for my sin. I believe he's the Son of God. And I now ask Jesus Christ to come into my life and forgive me of my sin. I open the door of my heart, Lord. Please come in and take residence. Thank you, Lord, for coming in. Thank you for accepting me. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Make me a new person. Teach me how to live and give me a hunger and thirst for your word. I thank you that I can now rejoice and praise you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. That's the end of our service today, but I would encourage you to join us Friday evening for our Good Friday evening service. And it'll be on Facebook, so watch. In the meantime, have a wonderful week. God bless you, and have a wonderful day. Amen.